When brands want to reimagine how people experience and interact with their brand, they don't want to just do the same old thing. That's really our sweet spot.
That was the biggest fear and the biggest hurdle to really overcome was giving up consistency, giving up what you already know and on some level what you've been taught.
The idea was you can always go get a job. So why not try it? Why not bet on yourselves? You can always go find something later if it doesn't work out.
We're all challenged with this. The things that we were led with being yelled at, microaggression, passive aggressiveness, outright aggression. On one hand, you're like, well, did that work? But on the other hand, it's like, man, I have trauma.
We probably didn't even think as much about the barriers and the challenge. I would say the biggest barrier as Black women has been.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's talk is, as usual, with some real leaders. They're absolutely killing it in the consulting and agency space. So with that, I want to welcome Yadira Harrison and Shannon Jones to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
So I always tell my audience how I know my guests. So a woman named Jada Stuti, I believe is the way you say her last name.
Jaden.
So she introduced you to me, obviously, before this is the first time we were speaking live, but she is an up-and-coming star, I think, in the communication space. And I just really took to her when she was working in another place. So, Jaden, thank you so much for making this happen. So with all of that said, I'm going to turn it over to you, ladies. I would love for you to share with the audience what Verb is to give them that foundation. What are you doing for and for who?
Doing a lot. I can say that. No, we are a brand experience agency, really focusing in on really how brands connect with their audiences and in a way that for us feels like very much output agnostic, in the sense of brands come to us and they say, hey, we either have this particular challenge, or we have this particular show we want to roll out, or we have this particular event that we want to do. And so we work with them really to figure out exactly what should that look like. Is that a branded experience? Is that an activation at another cultural touchstone or, you know, moment? Is that a summit? Is that a foundation? Is that an installation? So is that a creator campaign? So we really work with them on what their marketing outcomes should be based off of their business challenges. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing that for, now almost 6 years now. We've been out on our own, which is crazy to me. Feels like just yesterday was like 2 years. But we've been doing that for everyone from Airbnb and Netflix to HBO and Lyft and Nielsen and a host of others. So we've been doing it for quite a while. Really kind of rocking and rolling in the brand experience space.
So while you're on that, so there are so many, I think, agencies and groups that are claiming to be in that space, are in that space. So how are you setting yourselves up differently?
I would say the key point of differentiation for our agency has been the fact that we're by referral only, and we have been since the beginning. And I think that has really helped us in terms of establishing trust with our partners. We're known for creative excellence. We're known for operational excellence. And I think there's a little bit of social currency even when one person is able to refer us to someone else. And I think there's an inherent trust. If one CMO says, hey, I'm thinking about this, who should I work with? And then they send one our way, versus just Googling, oh, who's interesting, or just, you know, hunting down the award circle. And our specialty, I would say, are brand experiences that make people feel seen, valued, connected. We're really excited by that never been done before space. And when brands want to reimagine how people experience and interact with their brand, they don't want to just do the same old thing. That's really our sweet spot. And so I think that's in the driver for the types of referrals that we get.
Yeah, definitely, Shannon. That stood out to me when I saw your website. It was like, by referral only. I was like, okay, I have to talk to them about this. But your reputation precedes you in this conversation about your creativity. So I will reveal here that one of my dearest people is Kelly Coleman, SVP at Nielsen, who you both are close to and know.
What else?
So when I was preparing for this, I was, of course, going through your background. So I was like, wait a minute. Yadira was at Macy's. Kelly was at Macy's. They must know each other. And then there was something else. And I was like, okay. So I hit her over the weekend. And I was like, guess what? So we actually just spoke prior to this call. So she says hello to you
both. Amazing. Nice.
Kelly.
And she just raves about your creativity. And I know that she has worked with you at Nielsen. She told you you have just been a rock for her and her team and, you know, what they're doing over there. So, but with that, she told me about your Halloween party. So I would love for you to share with the audience. She was like, oh, the creativity and everything from the costume to the experience. And I was like, I have got to get these women talking about this. So tell us about your Halloween party, because it's such a great, I think, showcase of how you operate.
No, it was really fun. We partnered up with Mojo Supermarket to really just create something that we wanted to, what would we want to go to? I think is really how we started thinking about it, of like, what type of a Halloween party would we want to be at? And so that was really the impetus of it. And so then our team, along with some of the Mojo team, like, they came together, they formed a committee, and they really just started to run with it. It's great because we have a lot of folks on our team who really love Halloween. So they were able to take it there, and there were so many different themes and so many different ways that we could go and so many different concepts. And so we ended up with the theme being Night of a Thousand Phobias. And it was all about the things that really kind of either spook us or scare us or we're fearful of. It was everything from teddy bears to cockroaches to rats. Shannon had her costume. She had two birds in her head because she's afraid of getting hit in the head with birds, and we're just, it happens, you know? And so
what happens? I lived in New York City for a long time. The worst thing which bird flies over.
It can happen. I'm afraid of dust bunnies. So I was like, I'm just gonna be a cute dust bunny. But that was really, you know, for us, a moment to really, one, have fun, let loose, you know, partner with another amazing agency who, you know, we consider like, you know, friends of Verb. And so for us, it was really taking that step into starting to create our own events and things that we want to see in the world, like I said. So really fun. And yeah, Kelly came out and was just like, what is going on here? You had like Buddy the Rat and people across. List had these really spooky clowns. One was like a bloody dentist. Another was like sitting in this like balloon room, just sitting there with like this like pet monkey. It was bizarre.
It was people actually facing their fears. And so there was a bit of a purpose and impact that you were creating with it. Am I right?
Absolutely. You were supposed to face your fears. You know, the wildest thing, when the team talked about, oh, we should have Buddy the Rat. No clue who that was. I was like, oh, sure. Okay. And I saw this gentleman back in the green room without his rat costume. And he was lovely. And then I saw him walking toward the door, immediately get down on all fours. And I was like, oh, this is serious. What is happening? And I still found myself running away from him throughout the party, even though I know this is a regular person with an undershirt and suspenders on, and just a rat mask. It was too much. He was me, and that is my other fear, a rat running across my feet. And so Bunny the Rat still continued to scare me, even to the party. And he has hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram, millions of followers on TikTok. So he's like a thing. He's like great at his job. He is great at his job.
But you're so right. And it's actually a really great segue is about like facing your fears. And so as friends who have come together as co-founders, as Black women who are like really breaking a lot of barriers, I'm sure there's been some fears that you've had to overcome. So, you know, I would just love to hear less about, I mean, yes, what are some of those fears, but also like talk to us about partnering together and creating this vision for what you're doing today.
Yeah, you know, I had to overcome, I feel like, the biggest fear, which was no longer getting a regular check from somebody else.
I hear you right there. I'm with you. It's hard. I've
been that girl since I started my career. There was always somebody, you know, really kind of like in control of my time, in control of, you know, how I would show up, what it's supposed to look like, all the things. And when you're in the process of taking that control back and saying, you know what, no, I'm going to get out here, we're going to do our own thing, that can always be a very fearful thing. And luckily, Shannon had already been down that road. And so she kind of understood that and really had to talk me through that and say like, hey, do you really, really want to do this? So for me, that was the biggest fear and the biggest hurdle to really overcome was giving up consistency, giving up what you already know, and on some level, what you've been taught to, this is the way of the world. This is how you're going to make your money. And it's like, well, it doesn't have to be. It can look very different.
I think it is something that we can get in our own way around that, like really leaning into and entertaining those. Again, those are like just expectations in society, and it sounds good until you actually do it. And then when you go from a paycheck to no paycheck, it is very daunting. I appreciate you bringing it up. It's so funny. Actually, I saw this thing last night. It was on a meme on, it was Tupac that apparently had said something about like your happiness in your journey has a lot to do with what you're willing to give up and what you're willing to fight for. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it is just so true. I find myself as I'm making my way, I'm calling it my like wing building era.
You know that.
That's the part that I have to keep out in front of myself is that like truly that happiness and that impact I'm making. And, you know, there is just that reality for a time, there can be some of that, what am I going to give up? So Shannon, what are your thoughts on that?
I think like Adira said, because I had already been a freelancer when we were starting, I had actually worked for a startup previously as well. And when I was kind of making the leap that first time, the idea was you can always go get a job. So why not try it? Why not bet on yourself? You can always go find something later if it doesn't work out. So I would say that was the big thing. Early in my career, I think I probably had some fears around motherhood and this idea of throwing me off track. I was very focused on climbing the ladder. I wasn't really focused on necessarily becoming a founder or having my own company. And so I had seen early in my career, all of the senior level executive women, none of them had kids. All the men had kids, but none of the women had kids at the time. And so I didn't really have many examples of women that seemed like they were achieving the highest levels of success in the company and all also able to balance that with motherhood. So I would say, well, it was probably one of my biggest fears early in my career. And I was very fortunate with our company. My maternity leave, we actually planned on it being 6 months. We were a little too busy. And then with the pandemic, it presented some challenges with travel at the time. So I had to jump back in probably about after 4 months. But I would say that that was a fear that I was able to overcome just from the nature of having our own business and support system in place to be able to take that time. And now we've been really focused on how do we create those same environments for the other parents in our company, not just the moms, but the dads too. Like our head of production had to go on a field trip with his daughter on Friday. And so it's just like, oh, I'll be in late on Friday. And, you know, parents send their Slack emoji to school buses when we're doing school pickups. And so it's just like creating the space that we would have wanted and do want. You know, I think that that's always been something.
So glad you brought that up, especially around what you were seeing in the seat of like someone who was in a seat of leadership, because part of what's fueled me with this show and with so much that I'm doing is about showing, like giving people a vision of possibility and showing that representation in seats. And that can be everything from, you don't have to be an asshole to be a leader. co-founders as Black females, you can be a mother, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so important to be showcasing this, and to your point, creating what you want to see and what is possible. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I feel like we're just being part of the problem. And so that's just been a big fuel for me. And I've seen that as I've gotten dug into you both a bit. And it's so great to hear you speak about that, especially I would love for you to talk about the part of leading, how you lead versus how you were led.
We go back and forth about this. It's not just us. It's also like, you know, I feel like anyone who came up in a certain time, free, you know, we care about you time of like, we are all struggling with this. There's not a leader, there's not a founder, there's not anyone I believe who's probably 15 plus years in this, any of business, any industry, they're all challenged with this. We're challenged with this, of the things that we were led with being, you know, yelled at, microaggressions, passive aggressiveness, outright aggression, things being torn up in your face, red, like all the things that we go through, which on some level, you know, it's hard because it's like, well, I'm great. Shannon's great. You're great. So we all got through it. And so on one hand, you're like, well, did that work? But on the other hand, it's like, man, I have trauma. I have things from that that I know for us at Verb, we sometimes go so much the other way to make sure that folks don't have that same experience, that they're not scared to see an email from us or to see something. I used to get, you know, I used to get an email from an old boss who I love dearly, but it was sometimes it was just, you know, this is when you like used to have your BlackBerry and you were just like on it all the time. And sometimes you would get, you know, you had a meeting or you sent an email, you did something in the day, and you just get a forward from her. And it'd be sometimes it was one question mark, which meant like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Two question marks was like, what's going on? And it was what the F? And you're like, and then I'm just up all night. That's it. I'm just up all night getting my argument together, doing all the things, breaking down emotionally, what is happening. And then you get in the next day and you're just like prepped, you know, you rehearsed your speech in the shower, all of that anxiety that comes with it. And now to be on the other side of it and to say, that's not how we want to lead. Like we, you know, we definitely want people to, you know, respect us and understand that, like, you know, there are different roles. We're all doing different things. We're all a team. We're all coming together. But we've skewed sometimes so much. Our head of ops is sometimes like, yo, like y'all need to bring it back in, because it can start to feel like there's no structure, or like we're all the same. We are all the same, but we all have different roles and we all need different information and we all need to, you know, kind of work together in a different capacity. So for us, it's a struggle. I feel like it's not a weekly struggle, a daily struggle, because you can't help but the things that you've been taught for 15 to 20 years. Well, honestly, up until 2020, this was just not the way of the world. So it's like, this is still very new and recent for all of us, really.
Well, I would say I definitely agree that sometimes it feels like the pendulum swings very far and we're overcompensating a bit. And you know, again, it's like that balance of leading with empathy, but also continuing to maintain our bar and that standard of excellence. But one of the things that we say all the time to our team is that we want excellence, not perfection. We're not trying to have an anxiety-inducing environment, but we do expect excellence. You know, you talk about our core values, like rigor is a core value. Responsibility is a core value. Being proactive is a core value. Like Google is your friend. And so I think that there are so many things that we try to build into the culture to maintain, but you know, the amount of times that we're correcting books and documents late at night trying to catch loans when we could never have imagined showing something to our bosses that had typos or formatting. Like I remember on old PowerPoints, I used to make my own makeshift grid lines and hold my finger on the screen and just tap through to make sure every single slide was perfectly lined up. You know, like little stuff like that that does not happen anymore. So it's just like, how do we find that balance? Because we know that they're working hard, they're doing great, they're killing it, they're coming up with amazing ideas, they're doing what we sold, they have a lot going on. And so for us, we're constantly trying to find that balance. And yes, you are great, but also this is the standard.
It's so important. And I think like, when I was laughing throughout that because, of course, I can remember that, you know, the like 4 a.m. BlackBerry all caps email that was expected a response at 4:02. You know, those type of things are in it. Yes. Dear, the way you explained, like you were prepared the next day because you knew that you had screwed something up royally, whatever the thing was. But a lot of times when I say to people that I'm leading, it's like, I'm going to tell you the shit that happened to me and the shit that I went through. And yes, to your point, Yadira, like we're great because we went through those type of things. It's like, I don't want you to have to suffer. You're going to have to shorten that learning curve, but we got to get to the same place. And I love what you said about your core values. It's about that like accountability and responsibility, because it's like, this is how we play the game. And if you don't want to play the game to this level, then this isn't the game to be playing it.
Yeah.
So super important.
Yeah. And we talk about the idea of being a high-performing championship team. You know, you hear some people talking about, oh, we're a family. Families are responsible. Families are fucked up. Like, we're not a family. Thank you. We're not.
Thank you.
You know, we are, but we are a high-performing championship team. We want to get wins together. Our motto is making cool shit with our friends. Like, we want to get wins together. We want you to be great. And we want you to feel like this is a place where you can be yourself and be great. And so that carries through everything we do, from things that we do for our culture, things that we do with our friends, things that we do for the work, because that's the type of environment that I'm looking to create. And again, like, sometimes when I'm swimming just a little bit too far, then you have to take a pause and do a video release.
I smiled when you said that, because in my coaching and the consulting that I do, that is so much like my own version of saying that is, it's all about helping people in their pursuit of optimal performance. And to your point, it is not about perfection. Performing optimally is about showing up every day and working your ass off to collect your paycheck, to be a teammate, to do all those things, to be a championship player team. So I love that. I'm very much with you on that one. That's awesome to hear. So you obviously gel so much as friends and co-founders, but finding a partner in business can be very, very challenging. So can you talk about, like, how you came together as co-founders, and does it just being friends help or can it hinder at times?
You know, we came together as colleagues first. Like, that's how we started, which is what's, I think, amazing about our partnership, because when you are, Shannon and I both been asked and, you know, talked to other friends about starting businesses and things of that sort. And you have to, when you're working with your friends, especially even if you've made your friends at work and they were in a different department or something of that sort, you don't really know them on that level. You don't know all the ins and outs of how they work. You know how they socialize. You know how they probably think, but not work. And so we were able to know how we work together and figure that out first. And like, we were like, oh, this is a really great balance. They're my strength and her strengths, they equal up, because where we find challenges, we would say, it's like a great, it's like, this is your runway. You go with that. You're the expert here, and vice versa. And there's a really great respect that we built doing that and leading teams doing that. And so we were able to take that success and we were like, okay, we really wanted to just continue doing what we were doing and making magic where we were making magic. And when we weren't really able to do that in 2017, individually in our respective lives and professionally what was happening with us, it was like, how do we take that lightning in a bottle and go recreate it on our own? Which people kind of were asking us about that, you know, almost 2 years before we even did that. But again, that wasn't the goal. So for us, it was like, okay, we've already built this world. We built, you know, kind of how we like to run teams, type of folks who do really great on our teams. But then the other layer of that was, we were working with Airbnb at the time in our previous lives, and we had to live together. Like, we had to live together. The team had to live together. So when you're going through things, like whether it's random cats running through, you know, or something else is happening in your home, like, you're really getting to learn people. You're cooking together. You're up at night. You see who's night owls, who's during the day. You know, you're hanging out and you're, you know, at the fire telling stories. Like, there was so much that was going into our lives at that time that was like both work and both personal, that really just added into what you see now, which is, you know, our friendship was able to blossom into this. And it translated really well because we wanted to take everything that we had done and experienced and won awards at, and people admired what we were doing, and we wanted to translate that into our own world and build the culture and build, you know, our relationship and continue that with ourselves, our team, and our clients, you know, in the same vein that we were doing back then.
It makes a ton of sense. You're so right. As you were talking about that, I was thinking about that. That is a stark difference between, oh yeah, we're friends, but how does that person work? Because that's two totally different lanes. So when you were getting started, and again, I mentioned this a bit earlier, but again, as female founders is one thing, as Black female founders, that's another. So are there like barriers that you found yourself breaking been or you continue to face, or talk about what that reality is like.
I would say there was a interview that we did December of 2018, and someone asked us a similar question, and we kind of looked at each other like, huh, guess we never thought about it. You know, because I feel like we were just doing what we had always done, you know, in terms of leading teams, creating amazing programs for our clients, building relationships. So I think that we probably didn't even think as much about the barriers and the challenge. I would say the biggest barrier as Black women has been access to capital, quite frankly. You know, bankrolled our company. We don't have rich uncles. And so we started the company on our savings and our credit cards. And, you know, that's continued for 6 years, you know, building an 8-figure business. You know, then there becomes new challenges when you build to that scale, which, you know, we learned was very normal once you got a new CFO. But, you know, I would say that access to capital has probably been the biggest thing. Well, Airbnb is one of our biggest clients, and we work with them probably going back since 2013, 2014, even with our previous agency. And when we hear their founding story and they talk about this binder of credit cards that they had to bankroll the company, we're like, how do you get approved for that? You know, how do you get a notebook of credit cards? You know, because that's just not something where we source for. And so I would say that's probably been the biggest barrier, and very consistent when we talk to other Black female founders as well. And now it's in the press as well, you know, in terms of more investment funds that are under attack, under the wise discrimination, but we are historically underfunded. And so you would think for our business that success was in the world, people would be throwing cash away, but that's not always the case. We need to continue to bankroll ourselves. And so I would say that has probably been the biggest eye-opener, the biggest challenge for us, when we hear about the money that people have access to are given when they're building their businesses, what are unproven. You know, we've had amazing results from week one and still haven't necessarily had that scenario.
I'm so glad you spoke to that. That's what I thought it was, just from my exposure to such a diverse group of people who are a lot of them as founders. And, you know, God, when I hear and see the stats of just females, diverse females, challenges raising funds, it is, or I mean, the opposite of that as the stereotypical white male founder, just their ability to raise funds, capital. It's really interesting, I think, also because I know that building community, and again, like as within your organization, I think within the community at large, which is obviously how you have so much business out of referrals. But I know that building community is really important, and a special spin to that with diverse staff and diverse people. So can you talk about the importance of that? And I'll stop there. Can you talk about the importance of that?
It's important for us to build what we want to see in the world, as we've said. And so for us, that is community. You know, Verb would not exist if it wasn't for, you know, all the communities who supported myself and Shannon separately and together, who really gave us, you know, platforms and opportunities to then build on that, to then get to now where we are with Verb. And so for us, it's about bridging that. How do you take something that, you know, we've been super lucky at having, you know, one thing that I always tell people, that support is a luxury. It's not something everybody gets. It's not something that everybody wants, but it's like, that's not how it should feel at Verb. It should feel like very much support and kindness go hand in hand. Yeah. So for us, we really want to, you know, make sure that we are bridging that gap of bringing together kind of that support, kindness, all of those things that we really want to ensure that you feel when you're working at Verb, that it doesn't feel like business as usual. It doesn't feel like, you know, we always used to talk about this, of like the culture fit nonsense of, you know, do I fit in here? It's like, you fit in here because you belong here. And if you belong here, that's all that matters. Like we're here to make sure that you're showing up as your authentic self. We're making sure that, you know, we understand life is lifing, and that not every day you need to plaster on a smile because something might be happening to you. And I used to hate that. I used to hate that in my past life. It was like, why don't you smile? You don't know my day. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's happening. And we don't want to recreate that. So for us, the community, you have to build community in the most authentic way possible. People have to feel very much like themselves. That's the reason why when you hear folks talking about, like, you know, especially folks who are underrepresented, why they don't want to go back into an office 24/7. They didn't feel like they can show up as their authentic self there. They didn't feel like they had community there. They were putting on a mask to kind of fit in and to do that, you know. And I felt like, you know, I would say in my past life, I felt like I could show up, you know, over time. By the time that I felt like I left the last agency, I feel like I was like 80% of myself. You know, at this point, I was like wearing onesies as an executive, didn't care, doing stuff like, you know, just doing, showing up how I wanted to. But I knew I was being judged for it, you know, and it's like, this is a no judgment zone. We want people to make the decisions that make sense for them, that they, again, can show up authentically, that we can continue to build community with one another and our partners, whether those are vendor partners or those are client partners, that they see that and they also feel like they can be accepted the same way. You know, they don't have to feel like they have to show up in some different way, even if that's how they feel in their own organization. So, you know, it's, community is massively important to us as we continue to build culture and continue to build out Team Verb and also just what our ecosystem looks like.
Yeah, I would say it's a bit controversial, but DE&I is obviously trending. It's on the downward turn, but still trending. And sometimes there are clients that have DE&I initiatives, diversity initiatives related to their suppliers, that sort of thing. And so they'll often ask, I think more recently we see asking about our DE&I initiatives and what are our DE&I goals. And so Yadira and I are going back and forth, well, what are our DE&I goals? And then we just said, you know what, screw them. Like, we don't have goals, we are goals. Because our agency is almost 60% people of color, and there's a wide cross-section of representation in terms of ethnicities, sexual orientation, backgrounds, even the states that people live in, people from Kentucky, Utah, North Carolina, LA, New York. Like, we feel like we've already achieved that. And certainly there can always be things to improve, but I just hate when I see sometimes agencies that say, oh, by 2027 or by 2030, we will have 10% diversity in our company. Like, it just feels very low. And so that's why we've been so resistant to those narratives, because you can just create a diverse, inclusive environment. You don't have to have these platitudes and, you know, long-term projections. And, you know, we talked a lot about, because clients will ask about, do you have ERG groups, like employee resource groups? It's like, no, because if we have a diverse and inclusive environment, we don't need, oh, the Blacks can go in this corner and hang out. You don't have to do that. You can have, we have employee interest groups instead of employee resource groups. And folks, we do think there's an opportunity to foster a community, whether you're into AI, there's a TV group, there's a group created where everybody was pretending they were going to go to Burning Man. And so there was the Burning Man group. And so it turned into a mud pit, and then some people left the group. There's a foodies group that just got started. So it's just like, there are ways to connect and build community beyond employee resource groups. And I'll give you a good example. We're the whole chat in the water cooler Slack about who knows how to play spades. Now, that might be seen as very traditional, like, thing in Black culture. There are a lot of people at our company, Black people, that did not know how to play spades. And there are white people that did know how to play spades. And so, at one of our team offsites, we had spades lessons. It's like, we can just have fun and be inclusive without having to relegate people to a corner and say, okay, this is the resource, this is the corner you get to feel safe or be your whole selves, but the rest of this space is off limits. That just doesn't work.
This is it. It's like, this is how I have always operated the teams that I was leading. And like, this is so simple. It's like as simple as saying, be a good human. Like, it just, to me, I think, I feel like because society has been so screwed up in this space, and so, you know, there's been so much, you know, lack of equity, that it was like this, again, kind of what we were saying earlier, like an overcompensation by so many people. We have to have this rigor to it and these ERGs and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, also just be real, folks. Just be authentic. Just create safe spaces in everything you're doing. Look for, it just shouldn't be so difficult. I don't know. I mean, it's like, again, that it's simple as you're talking about it, as I'm talking about it. Right. But again, sometimes it's, to me, it's unconscionable that so not the way other people operate or think about creating an organization. And this is actually something I wanted to ask you about is what I've seen so much happen when I would work for an organization, and the team that I led was really the diverse team within the organization, because that's how I say it. But it was like this puzzle for how anybody else was going to all of a sudden hire a person of that represented diversity, or then what are we going to do? And again, like that, and when I was reading up on you both and, you know, your focus on community, I literally had never thought of just that word about it. It's like, you actually have to create a community for diverse people to come into and feel a part of it. Otherwise, it's tokens.
So like, people used to joke that our old teaming to that point about even in the ecosystems where you're part of something larger, old team at our own agency, they used to joke and say you look like a Benetton oil because it was so diverse. This might be a year or two ago, we were on a team site. I think it was a year ago. We went to see the Virgil Abloh exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum, and we were on a private tour. So we had, it was half of our team that was in town. We were on a private tour at the museum. And so the person is taking us around, showing us different things, but it's just for our group. And so as we're going around, people keep joining our tour. And so the woman has to keep saying, oh, sorry, this is a private tour. And the look of pure confusion on people's faces, we stop like, you're together? Like, because our team is so diverse, they're just looking around like, surely these people are not all together. This is just a mixed bag of nuts that happens to be following someone through the exhibit. Like, they just could not comprehend. The wall hopped into us at least four times walking through that. People were so confused, like, what? Oh, okay, sorry. You like, they just couldn't believe that our group was actually together. That's just a great example of, like, becoming such a diverse team where you wouldn't necessarily assume that we're all together. But that's always how we've been with our team. Even in our previous company, we are a super diverse team where, again, people feel like they're seen. They feel like they can show up as themselves. And also, we model that, too. The deer doesn't really wear onesies to work anymore, but we definitely show up as our authentic selves. And I think that model also encourages people to do the same.
Let the record show they were luxury onesies.
Good show. I love that. I love that. No, I 100% agree with you. And again, it comes back to that representation. When you are coming every day in with your fly glasses and your hoop earrings and that kind of thing, and just being totally you, I think other people, again, it's like, oh, okay. You know, back when I think back to like my early days when I was working at the Nets at the time, that was the New Jersey Nets, and there was the dress code. If you wore like open toe shoes or a skirt, you had to wear pantyhose, and you always had to have a blazer and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, me with my, like, you know, I don't know, Bojangles, like jingles and whatever the thing is, you know, it's like my big earrings or whatever the thing was. It was always like I had to find a way that I could be me in that environment. And, you know, again, going back to like how far things have kind of at times swing, it's like the reason to do this is not so that, my belief is, the reason to do this is not to check a box and say, I am run a diverse team, or because I am going to get this certification. When it comes down to the people, it comes down to people being able to operate at their highest performance level because they feel completely comfortable. They don't have to worry about, you know, being judged or this or that. There is just such magic, I think, that unlocks when someone can just be themselves.
You know, I think that when the team just feels like, you know, we see this actually, we have a all hands today. Every month we meet all together and you see when the team just shows up, the things that they joke about, the things that they create memories on, the things that they can go, they're like, and they get more and more comfortable. When we have new people who come from wherever they come from, they, you know, and everybody does it, they bring that baggage with them, they all that stuff. And it takes a minute for people to drop that in our environment. Like, wait, this is real? Like, I can show up this way. I can do X, Y, and Z. And it really catches people off guard. And I will say, I think we've typically seen it takes anywhere from 6 months to a year for people to really feel that, because that's how much other spaces where they don't feel welcome, where they don't feel like that fit, there's not community, or there's not a community for them that they feel they're, you know, they're just so used to that. So that's something that we, the opposite end of this for us is also when we bring those people into the fold, because in the beginning we were like, why can't they just just get it, just go in? And then we really started to talk to people and we're like, oh, you have trauma and triggers just like we did. And we have to process that differently and get everybody else to understand, like, hey, y'all, this is a thing. Like, people are deep, you know, they're trying to, you know, process all of this and understand, like, yes, verb is real. This is a real space. Doesn't mean just chaos is going on. Doesn't mean, like, everything is, like, but it's, like,
no,
this is a place for you to come to do your work and to be yourself and to be loved and accepted, you know, as you.
You're so right that, like, there is a time gap almost that people have being able to, like, can I actually trust this space? Is this truly a safe space? Because I've been fooled before. I've been lured into a place that told me that they were all about diverse teams and all that kind of stuff. And then I got there and it was a different story. And I've actually had people that have not been able to get over that trauma, get over that hump. And then they didn't, it wasn't that they didn't fit in with the team that I created, the organization, because they couldn't let out down that guard and be like, okay, I trust. That's another thing is, like, you know, if you're a leader within an organization where you operate that way, but the organization doesn't operate that way, it, in a way, it's good for your staff because it's like, well, okay, I got a safe space over here, but it creates this really weird nuance of trying to figure out how do you operate as yourself within an overarching organization that actually counters that. So I love the empathy that you bring forward as you talk about that. And so I'm saying all this so that the audience can really, we understand that this environment that you've created at Verb is not typical yet in society, in business. But it's really good, I think, for the audience to hear that, yes, it can be great. And there could be some that, you know, again, those challenges that can come up for people as they're adjusting.
You know, like, I think that as they're learning, we're learning, you know, but I think that the commitment to this approach and this process will always stand.
But I think that's what's obviously that comes through to me as I'm getting to know you both is you're truly leaders who are committed to that impact. And that you're making not only with your clients, with the staff and everything, and that you both are see yourself as part of that championship team. So you have to keep working on your game every day, you know? And like, Shannon, I love when you said that because that tells me it's important for you to be coachable just as much as it is for your staff to be coachable.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's unique. You know, there's too many times people get to that. I'm a founder. So I got it. And I'm running the show here. And, you know, and it's like, but to constantly have that eye to yourself and looking yourself in the mirror and being like, and I need to keep growing. It's
absolutely,
it's, I applaud it. I think it's awesome.
Thank you.
So I know we don't have a lot of time left here. So I would really love to get back a little bit into the actual, the work that you both are doing. So first of all, we talked about you being referral only. So if people are listening to this, they're like, but I want to work with them. So how does someone get in the mix when they're not in the mix?
They can use their name, I guess. I mean,
okay, both. Okay, that's a good thing. No, I mean, I love how you have that, and I do think that hopefully some people will hear this and be like, I want it. I want to be a part of what they're doing. So folks, there's your answer to that. And so, are there some key learnings that you had from the business side of things from 2023? Where you're like, oh, that was really interesting. And we learned a hell of a lot in any certain space.
Well, I will say this. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. It's a lesson that I know we learned. I know a lot of other businesses and founders learned that this year. I think the year started off gangbusters for, sounds like everybody. I know for us, it started off, it was at the top of the year. We just knew. And we've basically doubled in size and rev every year since we started. And this year we looked like we were about to do the same thing. And we were, you know, you start making decisions based off of that, right? You have your budgets, you have your things, you know what's coming, the phone's not stop ringing. And then, you know, as it does with any time you're talking about the economy, things then happen. And then everybody, layoffs happen, slowdowns happen. And the layoffs and slowdowns are really what we got caught up in. Mm-hmm. Where, and it was a little bit like COVID, this happened to us in 2020, where things were getting canceled, you know, when COVID was happening, but really wasn't stuff that we were working on because we, at the time, were doing a lot of B2B stuff where it was like, okay, we think we'll be open by June. We'll think we'll be open by whatever. It's like, okay, we can wait this out. Well, it was kind of the same thing. Some stuff started to slow down and you start to see different sectors start to have layoffs and things of that sort. And we're primarily entertainment, tech, lifestyle. Well, entertainment and tech, I mean, between strikes and layoffs, you would send an email like, oh yeah, we closed business, and you send an email and it's like, oh, that person's gone, or this is a bounce back, or this thing happened. And so very soon we made all of these plans and did all of this stuff at the top of the year based off of where we were going, where our projections were. And so that was something that we have really never dealt with. We never had that many old projects that were pulled back, people stopped spending, you know, layoffs that happened. That's something that going forward, we're like, oh, we can't do that again. We can't make those type of plans and really 2 and 3x our business, which is where we were going, without knowing, okay, things are signed on the dotted line. Yeah, so that I think for us, for 2023, from my perspective, is probably the biggest lesson that we learned outside. Probably the next biggest lesson from like year one, where we forgot to do biz dev for the second year. Okay, no. Now we understand. Now we get it.
Yeah, that's so good. All right, then Shannon, I'm going to come to you because, again, we don't have much time yet. I want to be respectful. You are doing the most today, as we said. Yeah. Talk to us. So the other side of that is 2024 trends. And is there anything that you think we're going to see more of or less of, you know, in the spaces that you're, you know, really working in for clients?
Sure. You know, one thing I think that's interesting that we talk about is this idea of cultural resonance trumping trends, and this idea about like connecting with your audiences and community, it never goes out of style. And so I think that that's starting to resonate more with brands. You know, you see a lot more creator-led partnerships beyond just the days of paying a celebrity endorser, which, you know, I've done a ton of those back in the day, but now shifting more to the content creator space, even beyond the traditional influencer space, I would say, like people that have communities and very engaged audiences. So I definitely see that continuing to grow. We're also seeing more in the proprietary space of like brands building their own experiences. And I suspect that that will continue to build, where certainly brands will continue activating at large scale events, whether it's South By or Coachella or some of those other things. But I also have definitely seen more trends where brands are starting to create their own spaces where they can control the entire experience. They control the narrative or want to tap into their communities.
I love that. I love the thread of community throughout this entire conversation. I think just, you know, again, the authenticity there is very apparent.
So one thing I ask all of my guests when they come on as we're ending is, what do you hope people take away from your episode today? So we'll close on that. So I would love it if each one of you could share that. So Yudhira, you want to go first? What do you hope people take away from your episode?
I hope people take away that you can build a company based off of kindness and authenticity, and you can build a successful company by making sure that those are priorities in your life and in your team's life and in your partner's life. And that's how you get an amazing community. And so I hope people take that away of like knowing that it's possible. It's very much possible.
Hey, that was my takeaway.
All right, we'll consider it double down. So yep. That makes it. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, to get to know both of you. As I said, I'm going to, off of this, send you some introductions that I hope can help you in to continue to flourish. And please count on me as one of your encouragers and resources as you go forward. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck with the rest of the day. Have a great day on purpose, everybody. And we'll see you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.